We're here being world travelers.
We're in Boston, USA. Yay!
We had to spend some time with our friends Lynn Rose and Bob Doyle doing some work, and now we're about visiting family.
We're very excited to be here. This is our first radio show from the continent of the USA.
Thank you for listening in. Today we're going to talk about gender differences.
Viva la différence!
So tell us what viva la différence means.
Well, viva la différence is a French sort of saying to say long live the difference between the sexes. It's the French are well known for being romantic and for the men like women to be women and the women like men to be men. And it's the country of love. And so I guess that saying means that the difference between the sexes is something wonderful. And I guess the topic we're going to be talking about today is it actually good for the genders to have so much difference, or isn't it? Is there much difference between the genders? Is there much difference between the genders in the different countries of the world?
And Lana came up with this topic, and I think it's a great topic, since I've experienced what it's like to be in America as a man with women in relationships, and I've learned what it's like to be in Australia as a man, as an American man with Australian women. And I've seen the cultural differences, and it's interesting, the similarities, and there are differences. And of course, being with Lana, you know, I've been contemplating, you know, what makes a man, what makes a woman, and what other people's views are on that. And we talk about this quite a bit, and it's very interesting to think about and experience.
I mean, David's forever been telling me what a big difference there is between Australia and America. So we thought we'd actually talk about it and get you listeners to call in and tell us what you think.
Yep. So we encourage you to call on Radio Station 1 on our webpage on bbsradio.com. You'll find the phone number. So please do call in with your questions, your comments. Really interested in hearing what people have to say about relationships and their experiences.
I might start off with a joke.
Uh-oh.
Hey, David. How many men does it take to change a light bulb?
Gee, Lana, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
One. While the world revolves around him.
Oh, my goodness. You're killing me. I happen to think that we're all egocentric in our own way, and the world, you know, is all about us, of course, and getting our needs met. But I have plenty of blonde jokes available, but,
oh, no.
But I'm a higher-minded male, so I'm an enlightened one, of course, so sarcastically, so I'll just bite my tongue on that one.
I'd like to tell you, women come in all shapes and forms, not just blonde. So, David, tell me about the fact that you think that Australia is so different to America. Why is it that you think that women are dominant in Australia?
You're answering for me.
Am I?
That's the dominant thing to do, isn't it? All right. It almost looks like I hear a lot. I've said this to a lot of people. I hear women like yourself. You call yourselves feminists in Australia, and I see that women are very assertive in Australia. They're, you know, and I've heard Australian men tell me this even recently. And they told, you know, we had a very large masculine man tell both of us this and tell us about what it's like for Australian men with Australian women and their interactions and communications. And he confirmed what I've been seeing. And it's wonderful that women get a lot of respect from the men.
Of course it's
at
wonderful.
Least, and I know people will debate this and say, you know, and it's based on your own experiences, where you live, and it's different. It's hard to make generalizations and blanket statements about any particular country or any area of the country, or because we're all individuals with individual personalities. Nonetheless, I do see that women in Australia are very assertive, and they want respect. And, you know, in America, growing up, I don't remember anyone ever calling themselves feminists. And in fact, men get repelled by that word because of the connotation it has. And
I think men fear feminists.
Uh-huh. They generally think of that
they
word.
They shudder at the knees.
Well, they think that women hate them. Feminists hate them, of course. So we tend to call ourselves post-feminists because you and I are all about universal soul love. And we're about, I mean, women in America are certainly about equal rights. They're about gender rights and equality. They generally don't use that title. And I know Australian women certainly don't mean it that way, at least the ones that I've met. like yourself. It's a very, I'm all for equal rights and gender rights, of course, because that's what we promote. And respect is something that all living creatures should have anyhow. But we're talking about what makes a man a man and what makes a woman a woman. So what is it about femininity and what is it about masculinity? Because, you know, we're talking about the union. For you and I, this is all about the divine union of the genders. So but
that's right.
I certainly do, about maintaining my masculinity and what I feel makes me a man. And you're about, and what I like about you is that you are very feminine, but you're a very strong woman. And I like that. You know, I certainly like, I idolize the sort
of... Are you flirting with me?
I'm all about the goddess, of course, and with her many names, and or the divine feminine essence. Goddess of love, but not just goddess of love. Goddess of love is Athena, the goddess huntress, the spiritual warrior goddess. I women have many sides to their personalities, just like men do. And I love the goddess of love side of women like yourself, that very deep, loving, poetic side. And I also like that very strong-willed, determined, motivated side that you have. And everybody has their own preferences for every man has their own preferences for what they want.
Sure.
The woman in a relationship, or some don't even want to be in a relationship.
Sure.
So why don't you tell me about masculinity?
Masculinity.
I know when we talk about this, women tend to talk about aggressiveness versus assertiveness. And we tend to think that men must be like Hercules, and they must be men. Maybe men think this. I don't know. This is a very controversial subject.
Well, first of all, let me just say that my perspective has always been that we are much more similar than we are different. I mean, the gender differences are really, they're superficial characteristics. You know, back in med school, when we studied embryology, what was really fascinating to me was the fact that all embryos start off looking the same. When you think of the blueprints that we have in our bodies, they're all much the same. You know, our organs are such that, you know, parts of our bodies can grow into masculine, the others can grow into the feminine parts, and all the other organs are the same. You know, the women can develop breasts. Men still have,
they have a chest.
They've got a chest. That's right. They've got a chest. They've got nipples.
Yeah.
Whereas men have a penis, we have a clitoris. You give a woman more testosterone, the clitoris will actually grow. We've got the basic components are there in both sexes to start off with.
Yeah.
So, and without the hormones, without the sex hormones, a fetus will actually develop differently. So, when I look at men and women, I see more similarities than differences. So, and I think that's really important. I think
you're talking about the physical and biological aspect, which is true, but on a mystical, metaphysical level, which is what I would normally talk on the spiritual level, consciousness has no gender. And I believe that spirit beings choose gender coming into this world, and that they can be either man or woman. That's the law of gender. And and we do that for a particular reason that has to do with our pre-life planning and our pre-life designs and what we want to do in this life, that we choose those genders and those roles and that sort of thing. But consciousness itself is just no self. And so at the core, we're all the same. So it's sort of our personalities make us separate. It's the law. It's the principle of separate but equal. We're all one, and yet our personalities are individual, and our personalities make us unique. But at the core, we're all the same.
Yeah. So that's the basic tenet that where I start from.
Yeah.
However, I love the differences. I think it's great to see men as masculine and women as feminine. I've always been fascinated with the differences in the gender relations in different countries, and fascinating to think that you feel that women are more dominant in Australia. I always thought of American women as extremely dominating.
But in America, we have so many cultures. You know, it depends on how you what you're calling in America. We have Chinese. We have
well, that's true.
We have Italians and every Spanish. Just you know, and there's those cultural differences in every within those communities within the United States, and they have their own way of carrying out their relationships and their marriages, and so. But I think women are generally pretty assertive here as well. It's just that it's somewhat different. I mean, we have, of course, I worked in the court system and I dealt with a lot of domestic violence and people tended to fight. It's very different where in Australia, I noticed men don't look at women. And one of the men confirmed this for us. He said that women tend to dress up for themselves and they do that here as well. But women don't like men in Australia sort of staring at them when they're dressing the way they do.
Well, women don't like being stared at. I mean, they like being respectfully looked at. Okay. They don't like being ignored. But I don't think they like being stared at or ogled.
Yeah. But in Australia, I don't think you have the level of domestic violence that we have. In relationships in America, from what I've seen and in my experience, men and women fight. They have fist fights. They throw things at each other. I haven't done this. But certainly, you know, relationships are very different. Monogamous relationships are very different, and personal relationships are very different, and courtships are somewhat different. Courting, I mean, and than it is in Australia, from what I've seen so far from my year there. But very similar. So it's really hard. I've been struggling with this and trying to figure it out.
Why? Why is it so? Yeah. Look, it's interesting. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe is it got something to do with your pioneer? Is it got something to do with the guns?
The gun issue.
Well, you know, you guys in America.
Oh.
You got guns. So yeah. Like, that's a phallic symbol, isn't it? It's a penile phallic symbol. You know, women have handbags.
So it's like a concealed weapon, I guess. Huh?
Well, that's right, yes. Women have handbags. That's sort of like a uterus. No, it's a womb.
I remember one time you came out with a post that I put out, and it was, how did it go? Women invade each other's wardrobes, drawers, and closets, and men invade each other's nations.
That's right.
I thought that was funny.
That's right. I've got a few interesting notes here on the different gender role behavior and expectations across different cultures. Generally speaking, first of all, of course, we have to say that there's a physical difference. You know, men have got the testosterone and they are physically stronger, and women are, made to have babies and made to be nurturing. And, of course, you know, women develop maturity earlier than men, and some say retain their maturity for the rest of their lives a bit longer than men. But by and large, across all countries, men are expected to be independent, assertive, competitive. Females are expected to be more passive, sensitive, and supported. Not sure that I agree with that, but that's certainly what this has found. Interesting enough, there was an anthropologist called Margaret Mead who studied differences between three primitive tribes, and she found quite big differences in two tribes. Both men and women displayed what the Western world would consider to be either feminine or masculine traits. In a third tribe, the genders reversed the traditional Western roles. So that's interesting that even within tribes there's variation. So you have many different nationalities here in America. Of course, we do in Australia as well.
Yes.
In other countries, for example, in Japan, when I was in Japan probably about 15 years ago, we found there to be quite huge differences. The Japanese women were very loving, very supportive, but very sort of passive, and the men were very sort of aggressive, we found. Now that's beginning to change now with more education. Chileans, 62% of Chileans are apparently opposed to full gender equality and believe that women should limit themselves to the roles of mother and wife. That's interesting. In Sweden, all working parents are entitled to 16 months paid leave per child. So in Sweden, it looks like they are all for equality. A big difference there.
It's interesting in your Aboriginal tribes. We have some friends, some authors, and in the Aboriginal tribes, at least one that I know of, it's actually a female dominated society, very female dominated, but the men are considered still to be hunter-gatherers.
In Australian Aboriginals?
Yes.
I never knew that. I never knew that until recently. That's really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost, I was hearing stories about how men almost, they're excluded from, you know, certain things.
Secret women's business.
Okay, let's not talk about patriarchy. I got that hit me. Oh, no, women have their own little secret societies and men aren't invited.
I didn't say anything.
I know, but I can hear some women saying, oh, men have their own clubs and their own fraternities and women are excluded, so why shouldn't women have this? Hey, valid point. But that's the way that those Aboriginal cultures were set up. And it's hard for me to talk about these Aboriginal cultures when I don't know enough about them. This is only, you know, I guess I know a lot less than you do. I don't know. So
yes.
It's hard for me to really, but anyhow, but it was interesting to hear about that. You
yes.
Know,
absolutely fascinating. So, and it's interesting that while within a certain culture and society, men might be seen as being more dominant, as in, you know, most Western societies still, you know, in politics, politics is, you know, mostly male-dominated. The, corporations are male-dominated. Sometimes you wonder who rules the roost at home, and very often it's the wife that rules at home. You know, she tells the husband how much to spend, and you know,
they say that behind every powerful man or something, there's a powerful woman that's directing everything. That I believe that was certainly true in ancient Egypt, and so this is sort of intuitive for me that the oracles, the psychic women were the ones that were making all the decision for the pharaohs and for the military leaders back then, and, you know, getting those psychic downloads and those spiritual connections to help them win their foreign wars or handle almost every political decision. You know, the men relied on these transmediums to get their information to know how to rule.
Mm.
And so the high priestesses were basically in power.
Mm. Well, that's certainly, you know, with every president, every figure of state, the wife is seen as being, I guess, almost the assistant. You know, wives are always do play a huge role in the way that men will think about things and discuss things and the conclusions they reach. I think that's been the case throughout, you know, history.
Yeah, I think you're right. Certainly we tend to see that men are the ones that start wars. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that engage in war and conflict.
What sort of war are you talking about?
War, conflict on all levels. But I have seen some very vicious women. I've come up against some female gangsters who are very vicious, who I, in the course of my investigations, I thought some of them might kill me, actually. So, and I've, you know, even in my surveillances, I was once pulled out of a vehicle by a very distraught woman. You know, that's not to say that, and I've seen, you know, I've had women that are very vengeful and very angry. I don't know that that's the exception to the rule or not, and I don't know how you feel about that. We tend to think that men are the ones that get angry, men are the ones that are filled with hate, and it's exclusively a male aggressive issue, and we tend to think that women are not the ones that get aggressive at all. And I don't know about statistics or numbers or population-wise or anything what the differences are in terms of aggression and conflict. But
I think it depends how you define aggression. Certainly men start wars between nations, but in terms of wars between people, I think women can be more vicious than men.
I think we were actually at a biker club the other night. It was, you know, it was a biker club. Anyhow, they were very nice people, and it was a nice club, and we had a good time talking to people. And one of the women who was not a member, she was not a bikie, but she was invited as a guest of one of the, I don't know, I didn't really get to know her, but it was interesting. She said, what did she say to you? She said, women are female terrorists.
Yes.
She said they know how, they're skilled at destroying people with their emotions, other women and men, and they know, you know, how to manipulate emails and texts, and they know how to use psychological tactics. Whereas men, they go out and they get in quick fights and break each other's jaws, and then the fight's done and they go back to living their lives. So, and I've seen that's true with some women and with many men where I grew up and you know, over the last 40 years, you know, but that's not true across the board, but I've certainly seen that can be true.
I think it's certainly true that in terms of emotions, in terms of knowing how to use emotions, how to manipulate people, I think women are much better than men. At the same time, women are much better at understanding and supporting.
Yeah, women can be very empathetic. They're very sympathetic. They're very compassionate. They can be very kind and deeply loving. And I love that about the feminine gender.
But they can also be terribly bitchy. And they can. I know that when men fight, they fight. They punch each other, and then they're friends the next day. Women are not like that.
And then I do that. I've often gotten into very vicious arguments with other men, and I become friends with them after because we respect each other. And I've certainly done that quite a few times this year. Have some very good friends that I've had some heated arguments with, and worked out good. And I think that's the way it should be. I think that you should always end up being friends. And I always, you know, I have my use of force policy. I start with kindness, and I always try to maintain that. And I only get assertive when I feel it's necessary. But you know, sometimes you, when you're confronted with a situation, you sort of jump to the top of the use of force policy. You know, everything for me is based on trying to make the best decisions. I like balance. I go with the golden medium, as you call it in Buddhism, that you taught me. I like to balance my heart and mind and my intellect and my emotions. And it's not always – and it's difficult. You know, we talk about this all the time on the show about balance and you know.
So balance is it actually the word that we probably should be looking at when we look at the genders? What is the balance that we need between the genders? What is the balance that we need between the differences between the genders, between the different roles between the genders? Should we have some sort of balance? Should we have some differences? Should we have no differences? What is the right balance?
And I think maybe at this point we should take a break.
We do invite people to call in if you can work out how to do that. Should we tell them the call-in number?
Yep, the call-in number for BBS radio station in LA is 888-627-6008 for anyone that has any opinions on this, who wants to chime in and let us know what you think about Viva la Difference between the genders. Or not. And with that, we're just going to take a break, play a little music, and collect our thoughts.
All right. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back to Universal Soul Love with Lana Love and David Love.
So today we're talking about differences between the genders. Viva la différence.
Or not.
Is it good to have differences between the sexes? Should we be promoting this in our society for our children or not?
So what's good about masculinity and femininity?
I like men to be masculine, but I don't like them to be too masculine. I don't like them to be full of testosterone and muscles.
Arrogance, cockiness.
That's right.
And
Actually, I like sensitive men.
Yeah.
Like you.
But so if men are sensitive, then that means they're not masculine, right? That's what we're told.
No, that's not true at all.
No.
Who told you that?
Well, we hear that, you know.
From
men,
where?
Men are men. Men are big and strong. Big boys don't cry,
where
right?
Where did you hear that?
There's a song called Big Boys Don't Cry.
Uh-huh.
We've been told that. A lot of people would say that. We know, you know, we do know that we talked about women being very empathetic, and men generally, you know, aren't always in touch with this sensitivity because it's not always useful. Where men have traditionally been the hunters and gatherers and gone out to war, it's not always useful to be sensitive towards death and destruction. Because then you're not able to carry out that role as the hunter, the protector, the defender. Even as an investigator or as a law enforcement officer, when you're exposed to a lot of nasty, horrible things in life, it's not always useful in carrying out your role in that role to be totally broken down and negatively affected by all the sadness and hurt and pain that people have in the world when you're dealing with lots of situations, adultery.
Adultery?
Well, women who have been cheated upon. And, you know, I've been on the phone with my clients who have been cheated on by their husbands and women, you know, men who have been cheated on by their wives or girlfriends. I'm thinking mainly of women who would cry on the phone with me for hours. And it's reasonable that they would do that. You know, they've lost their long-term partner and, you know, it's not always useful for me to be affected by that stuff and by that crying. And certainly I've had a lot of missing children's cases and abductions and parents who have lost children and child abuse cases and badly abused. I've dealt with victims and witnesses and rape victims and seriously. So it wasn't always useful for me in doing my work as an investigator to allow myself to feel that emotion. It was good for me to put up those walls to protect myself from that. So men over the centuries have probably shut off that side of their, shut off that emotional side because it can get in the way of them of carrying out that role that they've traditionally been assigned to.
It can also
get
in the way of relationships, though, as
well. It certainly can. And as a detective, I actually found it very useful to have that intuitive side, and intuition is very much related to empathy, and it saved my life. It's alerted me to danger, and that connection, that spiritual side, that psychic connection to the spiritual plane has been very useful to me. And I think empathy is very much related to your psychic development, and that's why we call psychic people sensitives, because they're sensitive to vibrations and they're aware of the vibrations around them, and that's what allows them to read people, to read emotions, to read body language, and to increase their awareness so that they're much more effective in life. And women are very good that way. And some of my best investigators were female.
Men need to know that women do like them to be sensitive.
So is that a feature of attraction? Is that a feature of compatibility? Because I think that's that's sort of what we're leading into.
I think so.
What is sexy? What makes the opposite?
I think a sensitive man is very sexy.
Uh huh. And what else do you feel is sexy? I mean, I know what you know. There's physical appearance, and there's personality, there's inner beauty, there's you know.
So I think both sexes like the opposite sex to be independent and have their own, be assertive. I think those are characteristics that both sexes like in the other sex. I think that's a general characteristic which is attractive in both sexes. Sensitivity, to a certain degree, I think both sexes need to be sensitive as well.
I think that's important in relationships, certainly, yeah. Mm. And And everyone needs emotional support, and life is hard, and so you even if you're not in a relationship, you need people around you who are emotionally supportive to get through life. So it is important to all of us that we have that around us.
I think women like men to be assertive, but not too assertive.
Yeah.
I think they like women meant to be independent, to be nurturing, but to allow a woman to be independent as well. So I think it's a balance.
Mm-hmm. I would certainly say I like independent women. I like women who are motivated. I like women who can go out and do things. I like women who are deeply loving and, you know, that sort of, I like that Marilyn Monroe side of women, you know, that sort of sexy, kind of curvy sort of,
come get me,
come and get me sort of thing, you know.
I'm sure you would.
And, but you know,
so what do you like about that Marilyn Monroe image? What is it that men find sexy about that?
To me, it's one aspect of women that's very attractive. It's very sexy. It's very, I guess it's hard to define, you know.
So I think what you're saying is that women who are at ease with their own sexuality and who are able to be at ease with being attractive.
Yeah. But certainly I've had some, you know, some female clients who were lawyers who I'd watched them in action, and they were very strong they had very strong personalities, and you know, you could see them command an audience. And certainly Lynn Rose is one of those women. We've seen her in action.
Absolutely.
she's very dynamic, and she's very,
very beautiful, very sexy, and very strong.
Yeah, she's very elegant, very kind, very loving, but she's very right out there, very extroverted, and she can, you know.
So what you're saying, David, is From a man's perspective, a woman can be strong and sexy at the same time.
Yeah, certainly you're like that. We did a little thing in Punta Cana while we were there with them. They filmed us doing our process with hypnosis. And you were like that. You were very dynamic, and you were very
Some men might not like that. Some men might feel overwhelmed by women who are too assertive.
Yeah, some men might feel insecure with their own masculinity by having a woman who sort of wants to take on that traditional role and be the independent business professional like you are. You know, we have changing roles, and this is why we sort of promote the post-feminist era, the union of the genders, because it's for decades it's generally been the woman would stay home and take care of the children, and the men would go out and work, and they were the breadwinners, of course. That was an old social paradigm, and but you know, now we're seeing the disintegration of society, and we're seeing the disintegration of relationships, and very high divorce rates in Western culture as a result of things changing.
Feminism. You were about to say that, weren't you?
No. Because I'd get in trouble. I'm really trying to think about this, because I don't know that we're really aware of what's happening around us and what's happening in relationships. Because to me, it almost seems like I'm trying to decide: do exclusive relationships, monogamy, really work anymore? Is it really, you know? It's very difficult to maintain monogamous relationships, successful long-term relationships, because of societal influences and those old paradigms.
I think what a lot of social commentators are saying are that there are a lot of overwhelmed women out there and a lot of very confused men. Women seem to have taken on both masculine and feminine roles more, and men are very confused about what they're meant to do.
Yeah, I think so. I'm very confused. You know, the things I've been seeing in the last year, I when I started chatting with women on Facebook and stuff, I had no idea that women were so damaged by their upbringing, by men and in relationships, and you know, this thing of abandonment and rejection from parents and traumatic experiences. I didn't realize the damage that had been done to the female gender and also to the male gender. I mean, this is, you know, goes both ways. I mean, as a professional, I saw all this, but I didn't see all of the, I don't know, you know, it's a, just I've had a lot of new experiences, so it's been very interesting to see all of this and explore all of this and the things that we're talking about today. And again, I invite anyone to call in and just give us their insights. in LA. Area code, well, it's 888-627-6008. I think if you're calling into the United States, it starts with 00111. I'm enjoying this show, whether anybody calls in or not. I always enjoy talking about these issues with Lana, so I'm having a good time with this. So what about monogamous relationships? I mean, we have a lot of friends who are polyamorous, and I know we're going to have a show on this at some point.
No, that should be a controversial one.
Isn't it? Yeah, all our stuff tends to be kind of controversial and confusing. But, you know, I guess it's all a lot of – it has to do a lot with just personal preferences. You know, you can't tell one person, another person, what's right for them. I know we'd like to do that because we all believe we know what's right and how to live your life. But really what we know is what's worked for us or what hasn't worked for us in personal relationships. When I say personal relationships, that doesn't necessarily mean romantic relationships, but I'm mainly talking about life strategies, how we communicate with each other. And certainly, you know, I've always said that romantic relationships are the perfect personal growth vehicle because you certainly learn a lot from your partner.
Yes.
You experience a lot of growth because we're mirrors for each other. We're teachers and students of life for each other. We learn a lot about ourselves and about the world from our partners. And I've certainly done that with you and with a lot of, you know, and it's been really good and not easy, you know, with anyone.
And that's a beautiful way of looking at it rather than trying to war with each other, that you actually, women and men, learn from each other.
You know, of course, personal growth, for me, it's all about school of life, and that's my philosophy of life, self-improvement, improving upon your character. And I think I once said, and this is... you know, when you get with a partner, I think that you try to get with someone that has the qualities that you admire, that you'd like to see in yourself, and that you aspire to see in your, that you want to possess and that you want to achieve within yourself. And, you know, I think that we know that in life we can't own anything, just like with money. You can't take it with you. That's true of all things. You only take your memories with you when you pass over to the other side, your experiences and your interpretation of them. So you can't own things in life. You can't own people. You can't possess people or things. So, you and I have talked about this, about, you know, in relationships. I think you stay with them as long as you're happy. There's certainly commitment and loyalty there, but when relationships get to the point that things are so that you're unhappy, I don't think that anyone should ever be unhappy in life because life is short. And that's certainly a controversial statement. You know, when you're talking about commitment, of course, but again, from, you know, it's about learning new things about yourself, and sometimes in life, you know, after 20 or 30 years, it may be that the relationship no longer functions the way it once did, or you've gone in a different direction in your life, in your mind, and you want new experiences and new challenges, and so sometimes you want to find a person that's on that same path with those same interests, which leads to that's compatibility. We do change in life, and it's important to have those new experiences, and it's important to be happy.
It's a difficult topic.
It is. It is.
And it's to do with commitment to yourself versus your partner. And once again, it's a question of balance, isn't it? Because commitment and loyalty to your partner is terribly important, and it's the basis of, I guess, society and family. At the same time, if you're out of sync with your partner and your partner's values, especially with what happens after many years when you can grow apart, ultimately you need to do what works for you. And if you're unhappy, you can't make the other person happy.
No, because happiness doesn't exist outside of us. That's a feeling that we generate within us. But certainly, we're allowed to pursue happiness outside of ourselves. We're allowed to pursue the things that bring us joy. We do have responsibilities and commitments, and you know, there's children, and there's whatever you have. If you have joint ownership or property and debts or whatever it is.
So you're talking about ending a relationship and moving into another relationship. But the topic you're talking about before was polygamy.
Polyamory,
and
as opposed to being in an exclusive relationship.
That's another big topic, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess, you know, this is all about relationships. I mean, we were talking about, the show is about gender differences, but of course we're also talking about relationships and how we communicate, how the genders communicate and how they relate to each other. These are all very broad topics, and we're sort of touching on different things.
And what about gender identity, the whole idea of heterosexuality versus homosexuality versus, you know, bisexuality, trisexuality, whatever?
Well, I know who I am, and I know what I like. I can't speak for other people, and I try to respect other people's lifestyles.
It's been shown that a lot of people will be bisexual at some stage in their lives or throughout their lives, and people's sexual orientation can actually change depending on the times that they are in their lives. It's gender roles and gender identity is not as fixed as we think it is.
No, identity itself is not a fixed thing. We assume identities in this life, and I know a lot about this from my work as an investigator. You can be anybody you want to be in life. We're a paper-based society, and who you say you are in your business card is what people generally believe. And if you show people the right piece of paper, they believe you. And certainly, paper is certainly useful, and documents are certainly useful, and licenses are certainly useful, and it lends to credibility, and we need to follow those things. On a metaphysical level, identity really doesn't exist. It's a societal function, and it can be an important one. It can be overused and over relied upon.
I know as a therapist that once people open up, life, their inner world is completely different in many ways to what they show on the surface.
Well, sure. We all have our masks, as you say.
That's right. So our identity is in some ways a mask.
Well, even, you know, as an investigator and as a mystic, I operate on the principle of anonymity, which means, you know, you tell people what you want them to know about yourself because you don't need to give away all of your personal information. But I am an open person, and I don't mind talking about myself, but,
I think it's important to try to be open with people, but not to define yourself by a certain identity or a certain role.
Right, and we have to realize that people need to be allowed. We need to allow people to be themselves, as long as their beliefs are innocent ones, and you're not hurting other people. That's an important love. Respect is an important component of love, and it's important that we allow people to be their true selves, without infringing upon their sovereignty and criticizing them and judging them in a way that's hurtful.
So what are we going to do with the gender roles? Are we going to force men to be men and women to be women? What are we going to do?
You made a comment in creating the description for the show about, will David ever wear a pink shirt? And I have a little story about that.
Please tell us.
Where I grew up in a little fishing town, the football players were it, you know, in school. They often wore pink dress shirts to certain events. I remember one time I was wearing a pink dress shirt, the kind that you wear with suits with a tie. And I had two neighbors. One was Portuguese, and he was had some addictions, and a nice guy, though, you know. He had a brother-in-law who had spent some time in a Texas prison for drug trafficking. He didn't always come across as a real highly educated intellectual type, but he was a nice guy nonetheless. He did a lot with – he was reformed, and he had done a lot with teaching kids about drug resistance and things like that. And he saw me one day wearing my pink shirt at home, and he said, "You're wearing a pink shirt?" And he said that in front of his brother-in-law. And he said, "What's the matter with pink shirts? Leave him alone. He can wear that. He looks good." And they got into a bit of an argument. He goes, "But pink?" You know, and so it was kind of funny. And I think, you know, at the time I stopped wearing the pink shirts, even though the football player is wearing them, because I felt, you know, a little bit insecure about the whole thing after that. Like, I shouldn't be wearing pink. But I know different now, although I don't think I've worn pink in a long time anyhow. maybe it had more of an impact on me than I thought, you know, but that was kind of interesting. I didn't know you had put that on there when you put up the description. But anyhow, so I don't know. Are we going to keep the masculine feminine roles or
I'd like to. I'd like to keep the men with the hairy chests. I think I think that men should open doors for women. Uh-huh. I like being given flowers and chocolates.
Uh-huh.
Same time, I like to drive the car.
Okay, so should women be opening the door for men, giving men flowers? I don't think I need that myself.
I don't know. Would you like me to open the door for you?
I've never thought about that, to be honest, until you brought this up.
Maybe I should.
No, I guess that's okay. I like you just the way you are. You know, I think I'm happy with the way, you know.
Do you like me wearing heels?
Yes, I think you heels do. Are sexy. Although
lipstick?
Yes, I do. But that's a personal preference. And I that may be a cultural thing that was ingrained in me that you certainly don't need to do that. I mean, you know, it's...
Of course, if I was in Africa in some of those tribes, I might wear those brass neck plates that are very sexy.
And then again, maybe I would think that's very sexy. I don't because I'm not in Africa and I'm not used to seeing that. But, you know, I've always seen women in high heels and I was taught to think that that is sexy. And, you know, so... I guess
maybe our next show should be on what is sexy.
Yeah, I know. We were trying to touch on that a little bit. We were trying to talk a little bit about what makes men and women attractive to each other. And again, that just comes down to personal preference. And you'll hear all kinds of different ideas on what that means to different people. But
so we're going to have to wrap up now. But I guess we're going to keep the difference between the sexes, aren't we? Is that the consensus?
Well, at least for you and I, we'll keep our relationship the way it is. I'm very happy. So, well, I enjoyed the show. We didn't get any call-ins, but that's okay. I think, you know, we put this up at the last minute as usual because we've been so busy with our travels. But thank you very much if you're listening in. I had a great time with talking to Lana about this.
Yeah, we'll have to have another radio show on this topic at some stage later on. But for now, vive la différence. We'll keep it.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye now. See you next time on Universal Soul Love.